Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, all it takes is one thing. You could be working on a certain project and everything seems to be going great, but then one thing happens and your entire project is ruined, or you have to spend a lot of time fixing that one problem. You're traveling, you miss your exit, you make a wrong turn, and because of that one mistake, you are completely lost. All it takes is one thing, but also think of how true this is in a positive aspect. Maybe your day is completely rotten, nothing is going well, but then one person says one compliment to you. And that one comment just makes your day better. Or when you are so stressed out because of all the problems in life, you take just one moment to sit down with God and to pray to Him, and all of that stress goes away. All it takes is one thing. That's the argument that Paul uses in his letter to the Romans here. But instead of focusing on how all it takes is one thing, he talks about how all it takes is one man and how that one man affects all people. So let's take a look at the one man. Sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men, because all sinned. Who is this one man who affected all the world? It's Adam. When God created Adam, He made him in His own image. Adam was perfect. He was holy. He knew God's will and he desired to carry it out. And God gave the one man, Adam, one command for him to follow so that Adam could show his love to God. But instead of obeying that one command and showing his love to God, Adam rebelled and he disobeyed God. But why did he do that? Considering that he was perfect and he desired to obey God's will, it's because of Satan and his temptations. He made Adam disobey God. But the consequences of the one man's sin did not just affect Adam. It affects the whole world, and it affects us in multiple ways. The result of one trespass was condemnation for all men. Since the one man, Adam, disobeyed God, all of mankind has been condemned. All of mankind is found guilty before God simply because of Adam's one sin. Now, you and I may think this is unfair. Why am I condemned and found guilty because of what Adam had done? Well, the reason that you and I are condemned and guilty is because Adam is the father of all mankind. We are born in his sinful image. Therefore, the guilt that Adam carried for his one sin has been passed down to all people. All it took was one man and his disobedience to bring condemnation to the whole world. But this is not the only effect of Adam's disobedience. Through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners. This is not what God intended for you and me. He intended for us to be born in His image through Adam. But because of the one man and his disobedience, the perfect image of God has been completely shattered and destroyed. It no longer lives in us. From the very moment that you and I are born, we are sinners. From the very moment that you and I are conceived, we have a sinful nature. Now, people may try to downplay this and say, yes, we have a sinful nature, but deep down inside, we are still good and decent people. People may say that our sinful nature isn't really sin. It's society that corrupts us. But Scripture says the complete opposite. Scripture says that there is nothing good that lives in us by nature. And Scripture says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. This is what our sinful nature is like. These are the sins that you and I can commit. These are the sins that you and I have committed. Because our sinful nature is completely rebellious. It is totally selfish. It is full of hatred. And its only desire is to disobey God. You see that in your own life. The times that you are rebellious, you're full of hatred, you are completely selfish, and sometimes your only desire is to disobey God. And even though you and I are Christians, and God has created the new man that lives in us that desires to obey God's will, we still sin against God. Why do we do that? It's because of Satan and his temptation. When he tempts us, he is speaking to our sinful nature, and our sinful nature rejoices to hear Satan's temptations and desires to carry it out. There's a conflict that's happening in us. But even though we know that obeying Satan's temptations is sin, we still do it. Even though we try our hardest to fight against Satan's temptations, we still fail. All it took was one man and his disobedience to make us all sinners. But there's one more thing that Adam's sin brought to us. By the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man. Because of Adam's one disobedience, death has come to all of us. And think of how true it is that death reigns in our lives. When someone becomes old, we can sometimes think, how much time do I have left to spend with that person? When someone gets into an accident or they have health issues, our first thought might be, is this life-threatening? Death reigns in our lives because we wonder when it will happen, but it also reigns in our lives because of what death does to us. When death happens, there's so much pain and grief and sorrow. When someone dies, you can no longer have new memories with that person. You can only remember past memories. And even though time may heal many wounds, at least one day out of the year, you are reminded of the death of a loved one, and it can bring tears to your eyes. And one day, because of our sins, we too will die. And we could be terrified of death. We may wonder if God will condemn us because of our sins. All it took was one man, one disobedience to bring condemnation, sin and death to all people. But now Paul compares in contrast with the one man, Adam, with the second man, Jesus Christ. The gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Paul calls God's grace a gift. A gift is something that is not earned or deserved. It is freely given. But why exactly is God's grace a gift? Recall the words that we heard in our first lesson this morning. Realistically speaking, this is where Scripture should have ended. Scripture should have just told us how God created a perfect world, how He created Adam in His image, how Adam disobeyed God, and therefore we have to deal with God's condemnation and death. That's where Scripture should have ended. But it doesn't. But why doesn't Scripture end there? Ponder that question. Because when you kind of think about it, in a sense, it seemed like Satan put God between a rock and a hard place when he tempted Adam into sin. God is just and he is gracious. So if God was gracious to Adam and told him that he would let his sin slide on by and give him a second chance to obey him, Satan could accuse God of not being just. Because God told Adam that if he disobeyed him, he would surely die. And if God was just with Adam and he killed him right then and there, destroyed all of his creation and started over, Satan could still accuse God by saying to him, "That doesn't seem very gracious and loving of you." It seemed like God was put between a rock and a hard place. But there was a third option. God did tell Adam and Eve that they and all of their descendants would deal with the consequences of their sin. But God also said to Satan, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Here we see the gift of God's grace. Here we see His grace, for He promised to send a Savior for all mankind. But here we also see God's justice. For everyone's sin, all of the sin of mankind, would be punished on His one and only Son. This is the gift of God's grace. This is why we are forgiven, and all it took was one Savior. But there's another beautiful aspect of the gift of God's grace. Again, the gift is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. All it took was one sin to bring condemnation and judgment. But the gift of God's grace followed many trespasses. All of the sins that have ever been committed, all the sins that you and I have done, has not removed God's gift of His grace that He gave to all people. Because of Christ, all people have been declared justified, which means every single one of us is declared not guilty for our sins. But not only did the gift of God's grace bring justification, it brought one more thing. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ? God's gift has brought eternal life. All those who believe in Christ will reign in life through Him. We don't have to be afraid of the consequences of death. But why do we have eternal life through Christ? It's because through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. And also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. Since Jesus never sinned and fought against all of Satan's temptations on our behalf, since Jesus died on the cross to remove all sins from us, since Jesus rose from the dead for our justification, we have eternal life through him. We thank God that he sent the one man, Jesus Christ, to bring us justification, forgiveness, and eternal life. But maybe right now you are still pondering the question, how does this apply to me in my life when I fight against all of Satan's temptations? Well, once again, recall the words that we heard in the gospel this morning. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, he did not use his divine power to fight against Satan's temptations, but he used God's word to fight against those temptations. As we sang in our hymn earlier, one little word can fell him. God has not left us here defenseless, but he has given us the sword of the Spirit. And by quoting Scripture, you can drive Satan and his temptations away from you. This doesn't mean that Satan will stop tempting you. Satan will continue to tempt us, to drive us away from God and to kill our faith. And even when we do fall into sin time and time again, remember this one passage from Scripture. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Christ Jesus came to save sinners, even the worst of sinners, even you and me. Therefore, we don't have to be afraid when we go to God in repentance, for he will not condemn us. He will forgive us. We have been justified. We have eternal life through him. And that's all it takes, because all it takes is one. All it took was one man, his disobedience, to bring condemnation, sin, and death to all mankind. But all it took was one man and his obedience, Jesus Christ, to bring justification, forgiveness, and eternal life to all mankind. And by using the one word of God, we can drive away all of Satan's temptations so that we will all remain with our one God and Savior. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.